today is, does God hear the prayers of sinners? And when he came along, when Isaiah came along, it was too late for Israel. If we read the first six chapters, we'll see that this is an introduction of the destruction of Israel. Just like a lot of times now, I'm telling y'all about the destruction of this nation, that this nation is falling, and that we should come out of Babylon. So Jesus was praying for those that the Father had called out, just like this first chapter, it doesn't deal with prayer. We don't see much prayer in Isaiah, the first few chapters, and we would have to pick around to find it. So what I picked around, I found the first chapter, and I think it's starting at the 15th verse, when it says, and when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So here, he was telling them that their prayers wasn't to do any good because he had stopped listening at their prayers. And the idea, I got these points, I got three points that I want to go over today. And I want to talk first. The first point is the perspective of prayer. But the third point is a panacea. In other words, people think, that's my third point, and I hate to take the third point out of context like that. But everybody says prayer changes things. They look at prayer as a cure-all. And that's not true from the point of the Christian. And people just say, just pray for me and pray for me. Well, most prayers aren't doing any good because you're a sinner. You're not repentant. You're not changing. What about the prayers of the priest, of these priests that are abusing the children in the Catholic Church and these other churches, of the priests that have abused all of these children and things? Is God hearing their prayer? If that person is confessing and they're praying for you or whatever, but here they are in sin themselves, they're doing all this sin, and God does not hear, is not hearing their prayer because of their sin. They can't come before God. So God had opened it up through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus had us praying in his name. That's why I tell you, churches, most churches, you don't hear the Our Father prayer. And they say that was something he taught the disciples. That's why most churches, you're not going to hear them open with that prayer, say that prayer, because you can't pray that prayer. Jesus only told them that after he came back, when they say, teach us to pray. Because God is not everybody's Father. We got that wrong. We're getting that wrong. So it's the perspective is my first point. It's the perspective. Isaiah, the first chapter, we really need to be awakened or quickened by the Spirit of God to be able to grow in our prayer life. In other words, we need to be born again. You must needs be born again. Because the Bible tells us we don't know how to pray and we don't know what to pray for. The Spirit make it intercession for us and pray. That's why we have to learn. That's why they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because prayer is not just repeating a bunch of words to God. If it was, why did he say with the Pharisees, which they followed God religiously? But he went up to pray and he said, that man's prayer didn't get through. This was a church-going person. He tied everything he owned, he would pay tithes off of. Even all up to the seasoning and everything. Well, if he went to buy seasoning, if he had bell pepper and onions and garlic, he would do a tenth of that for Lord. He was doing all, he listed out of things that, and he wasn't like the other man. But then the sinner, the publican says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. God heard his prayer. So, see, it's true and it's false about, does God hear the sinner's prayer? That's a complicated issue, and that's why religion is something that you have to grow in, and it's a process of growing, a process of being sanctified and developed, because it calls for a perspective. How are you looking at this? Notice in our scriptures there that I read to open up, and God says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. In other words, come, sit down, follow me, let's listen at what I'm saying. In other words, not you saying that the ways are your ways are right or whatever, because we can't walk together unless we're in agreement. And I told you the word homo legeo. I told you that the other day, a while back. In other words, that you say the same thing God said, that you're a sinner, that you need redeeming, that you need to have repentance, that you need God in your life, and that you agree with God in what he's saying, and that you need a renewing of your mind. You need to have fellowship with him. It calls for the perspective of seeing things the way God sees it, and not the way we see it. Because the ways of a man is right in his own eyesight. That's what they were doing during the times of the judges. Every man was doing that was right to him. The Spirit had not been given so the people would apostatize away from God. They would fall away from God. God knew this, and he had spoke that to them way back in the book of Deuteronomy. If we would look at the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, the 14th through the 21st verse, he appeared to them in a great cloud at the tabernacle entrance and said to Moses, Moses, you're about to die. I'm about to take you out of here. And you go join your ancestors. You go die like your parents and everybody before you. After you're gone, these people will begin worshiping foreign gods in the promised land. They will forget about me and break the contract of the covenant I have made with them. Then my anger will flame out against them, and I will abandon them. I'll forsake them, hiding my face from them, and they shall be destroyed. That is that what's happening in Isaiah, that he says he was going to hide his face, he wasn't any longer going to hear their prayers, their sin had separated. See, God knows the future from the beginning from the end. He tells it that away. So he knows how this ends. But Moses was about to die, and he's telling what's going to happen to people, that we will get further and further away from God. Yes. And that he was going to scatter a good bit of them. He says, terrible trouble will come upon them, and so that they will say, God is no longer among us. I will turn away from them because of their sins in worshiping other gods, he says. That perspective that they were looking at God from, they couldn't see God because they didn't have his spirit. And that's what the thing was about the law. It was weak through the flesh. They had the law, but it wasn't any power, anything enabling them to walk within that. We want to look at in there. Even Moses fell victim to these things because we're emotional people. We're people driven by passions and feelings. He had served God for many a year. You remember he was on the backside of the wilderness because he had killed someone and he had fled. And then God called him back to help lead the children out of bondage. But the people kept needling Moses, and Moses didn't follow God's directions completely. The second time he told him to speak to the rock. And what did happen? Moses smote the rock. In Deuteronomy 1 and 37 he says, also the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou also shall not go in. And he didn't allow Moses to go in because Moses had lost his temper at that time. Moses had did something he wasn't supposed to. So prayer keeps us. What prayer does, and we'll teach that, but prayer aligns us with the will of God. That's what that does. It doesn't change these things or whatever. What people are talking about, it changes things. Prayer gets us to see things God's way, seeing it as God does. If you notice, God answers prayer. He's a prayer answering God. Moses asked him twice about going into the promised land. But then God finally said, well, Moses, don't ask me about this issue no more. You can go up and see it, but you can't go in. See, because God had already gave him his answer, and that was no. So Moses needed to start seeing this the way God sees it. And so he said, well, I'm not going into the promised land. He was angry at me for your sake. He allowed him to see it, but God had answered his prayer. A lot of times God answers our prayer, but he don't give us the answer we want. And we'll seek it, and a lot of times God answers through other people or through circumstances. He answers us in various ways. But if it's not the answer that we desire, then we keep pushing because this ain't what God says. Because it's not what I wanted. And we know God answers our prayer. And we know all the televangelists say, let us pray about this and God will give us everything that we pray for. I got a sheet coming out. I had to break it down with your prayers and things on it. I gave Sister Jackson an early look at it. And I'm glad she did because she seen something on there. And I'll tell you about the different versions of the Bible. It's from Matthew, the 18th chapter. And it says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be the God in the midst of it. And if any, verse 19 goes on to say, and again I say to you that if two believers on earth agree about anything that they ask me, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You have heard that?
Yes.
That's very false. They pull that out of context. It has nothing to do with anything, but that's a famous thing of the televangelists, of preachers, everything. He's not even talking about prayer. He's not even talking about prayer. Now, the Amplified Version goes in. It puts in brackets a little understanding of that. He says, again, I say unto you, that if two believers on earth agree, and is, in other words, what he's saying, that is, are of one mind and in harmony about anything that they ask, and then it put in brackets again, that's within the will of God. It's not anything he asks it, because the Bible tells us in the book of James that the reason you're not getting your prayer answered is because you're asking amiss. You're asking for something to consume it on your own lust. You prayed that you would get well, and I don't want you well. I want you sick because you, John Erickson Tata, and I wouldn't have had a witness like you. I was listening to a preacher the other day. How many millions have come to the Lord because he allowed her to jump off of a mountain, off of a cliff, into the water and hit a rock and splatter her backbone and shatter all that. And she was in a wheelchair the rest of her life. But she had, is not anybody that's in Christianity hardly who hadn't heard of John Erickson Tata. And if she would say anything, she would say, oh, my strength and health and this and that, that. But she tells everybody that made her one of the greatest witnesses for the Lord. She's given out more wheelchairs and things for anybody. But God allowed that to happen. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, Jacob would want his limp back. He wouldn't want his thigh out of place. But that was his witness because he's seen the face of God and it knocked his leg out of joint. I tell you what happened to me with my knees and things when I was a younger person and had five children or whatever, and I had suffered a disabling injury. But that's when I went into the ministry. I don't know if I'd have been into the ministry that early if that hadn't happened. So why should I pray for God to remove something that, as Paul says, he says, no, Paul, I give you that thorn in the flesh just to keep you humble. I've given you that for a reason. And we glorify God in those ways. It's, you are living witness. That's why you have to see yourself as valuable to God, in that you're not praying for something to consume it. You want to glorify God. Now, don't you think he's getting a lot of glory from John Erickson Tata? She's never bitter. She's always, and she, you've heard her. I've told you about her. You've heard her. You've heard her. But see, sometimes God causes or allows things to happen and he don't answer our prayers. But that's what I say. He don't answer in the way we want.
Yeah.
See, but God is. But back to what I was about to say about, this was about discipline in the church. If we would read Matthew, that's why we can't just pull things out of context. Does this sound like it's about prayer? In the book of Matthew, the 18th chapter, we started at the 15th verse. He says, if a brother sins, go and tell him his fault in private. If he listens or pays attention to you, you warn your brother back. In other words, don't get into no big old argument in the church about something somebody said or did to you. Go to that person by themselves and talk with them. If they agree or whatever, you warn your brother or whatever. He says, but if he doesn't listen, take along another brother, one or two others, so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So now I've told him, and this is a church issue, this is a moral issue according to the church or whatever, it's according to God's word or whatever, and you're not acting right. The church needs to discipline you about this. So I brought another brother before I brought it before the church. Now, if you could hear that brother and the two brothers, it hadn't escalated. First, it was between the two of y'all. But now it's between two or three people, and that's what the Bible needs, two or three witnesses to agree on something before it was established. And he says, if he pays attention to them, refusing to listen, obey. If he don't listen to them, those two, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile, as an unbeliever, because you're refusing to hear the word of God. You're refusing to hear what the scriptures say. That's why it comes down in the 18th verse. It says, let him be as a tax collector. I assure you, and most of Solomon say to you, whatever you bind or forbid or call improper and unlawful on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose or permit or allow on earth, it shall be loosed in heaven. So if the church, you are bound by the church's rules. We're bound by the word of God. We can't have adultery in the church. You can't be married to another man or another woman. And I've told you about this relationship or whatever. That's bound on earth and it's bound in heaven. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Well, you can't loose that on earth and loose it in heaven if it's bound by God's word. According to God's will, man shall not lie with man as he does with woman. So no use in praying. I don't care how much y'all in love with one another or whatever or what's going on. God, it's according to God's will. You can't do anything. Now, you can go get two homosexuals or two lesbians or whatever, and y'all could agree with that, and y'all in the church. But that doesn't mean that that's an answered prayer, or that's the way to do it, because it's not according to God's word. We can't make up laws. It's according to God's will. So he says, again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are one mind in harmony about anything that they ask, according to God's will. So you can't actually get nobody else to do something if that's somebody else's husband or somebody else's wife. Just because you and your friend agree on it, it's not legal to have your brother's wife. It's not legal to have another man's wife. So all these things have to be according to God's will. A lot of times we pray for the wrong thing. We pray to marry the wrong person. We pray for different things, and that's not in God's will. So that should block that, but it wasn't about prayer. It's about the church sanctioning things and coming to agreement on certain things. But we blow it all out of proportion. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am the God in the midst of it. Yes. See, but how is God is the God in the mix if it's ungodly people? We can't get together in sanctioning the church that somebody that's a homosexual preach and marry somebody else, and you have this going on in the church, they're not believers. They're not true believers. The church, that can't be loosed in the church because it's bound in heaven and it's bound on earth. It's bound by God's word. We're bound by God's word. That's why he calls us bond servants. So we have to pray according to God's word. We have to walk. We have to live according to God's word. These people hadn't been living. They hadn't been seeing things from God's perspective, the way God had saw these things. And so God was saying it was too late. No matter how much you pray, I'm not going to hear your prayer. I'm not going to listen at it. I'm not going to smell in your offerings. Don't bring any of that incense or anything else to me because it's bad. Second point. Can you cut that? I'm getting angry. I know you don't want me sweating. The second point is parenthood. Just like I was telling you, we have to see that God is our Father. And that Jesus asks us, he says, after they asked him, the teaching to pray, that he taught them, he said, pray in this manner, pray our Father. Just cut it all the way down, Deacon, and come back. In 2 Kings, the 19th chapter, the 14th through the 28th verse, I'm just going to read that 19th verse though. O Lord, our God, we plead with you to save us from this power. Then all the kingdoms on the earth will know you alone are God. That was Hezekiah. He was praying, the Sennacherib was coming up against Jerusalem. So when God's children pray to him, he hears their voice. He hears them. But you have to be one of God's children. You understand what I'm saying? He's not hearing just anybody. That's why he had divorced Israel, and now he's about to send Judah into captivity. And he says, don't pray to me because I'm not going to hear. It's kind of like my grandson. I love to use him as illustration so he can't confirm things. He used to be over at my house or whatever, and he would ask me for different things, and if he asked me, Paw, can I have it? He's asking a way of authority that I granted, right? He has a cousin, one of his cousin, his little cousin, would used to be over there with him. And Chris would ask for different things, but then sometime his little cousin, Jayden, would ask him whatever. Chris would say, no. Cover his mouth up. He covered the boy's mouth up, and they say, no, that's not your pawpaw. That's my pawpaw. That's not your pawpaw. In other words, I'm teaching them to share and giving him things, but Chris wanted him to understand, you can't go to the point calling him your pawpaw because he's not your pawpaw. Now, I'm letting you play with this stuff, and we have all this stuff, but he's not your pawpaw. And, you know, I don't know how to deal with this. I say, come on, Chris, let's share or whatever. That's the one I told you about the pies and everything, and he knows. So, as the parenthood of God, the earth and the fullness thereof is his. And we know if we walk pleasing unto God, and First John says that, we know that we have the petition that we ask. He says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in us. So we have that confidence when praying. That's God's children, those God's people that are asking their father and they're asking in faith. And if they're walking in alignment with the Father. So he knows anything in that house. Okay, well, remember I told you he told his dad there ain't no more pies or whatever, this and that, that. Because when the pies are low, it's time to get this. Because, you see what I'm saying? Everything in that house, they'll go in the refrigerator, they look around or whatever. They can have that, but it's certain conditions. Our prayer, there are certain conditions of restriction for our prayers. So he knows, well, Papa, I'm not going to get it right now. You're going to have to eat your lunch first. You're going to have to eat your food first before you could have these. Okay, I have a bunch of pies. I have ice cream and all these other things. But you're not going to get too much of this or you'll make yourself sick. It's not that God doesn't have the provision to give to you. Is it the right time? Are you following his commandments? Are you walking in his way? My wife would tell him sometime, okay, y'all share, you know, and she set a clock or something where they would split time on the computer. But if y'all go to fighting and arguing, nobody's going to play with it or whatever. There are certain rules you have to follow. Now, they're over there that whole day is if they ask to play with just about or do anything over it, it's probably, it's an open panacea for them. They can just about, but there are laws and conditions to these things. That's the same thing in our life. There are laws and conditions, and he told Moses a certain way you have to walk. So if Moses would have done what God told him and spoke to the rock, he could have entered in. God disciplines us just like when he go too far, Chris catches little whippings. When we go too far, God punishes us. So we have to see the parenthood of God and why he doesn't listen. Sometimes they say something, and my wife has gotten good. I learned from her, whatever, that your child is saying something or whatever, but you didn't answer them or didn't tell them answer. So you hear it then. And like you say, does God hear us in a man's prayer? Of course God hears everything. But is he paying attention to him? You know, a lot of times you could hear a person, but you're not paying them attention. They're just talking because you've answered them or you're not, I hear you, but I must not be ready to answer to you. Don't grab them. You know, so a lot of times children can get in your face and turn your face toward them to make sure you're listening at them or you're hearing them or whatever. Well, I hear you, but I'm not answering you right now.
Please.
Have you ever been in a condition where you and your children have a problem or something happens and you're sitting in the house or whatever? The reason for the lack of communication that y'all not talking or whatever, there was a foregoing argument or dispute or something, somebody said something or this said something. Y'all not communicating.
Yeah.
You mad or they mad or whatever. God doesn't get mad or pot or whatever. But sometime our sins could turn a person away from hearing us or talking to us. Sometimes we do things and God says, because of your sin, I'm not listening at you. I'm not going to, you could ask me as much as you want to, and I'm not going to give it to you. You know, sometimes your children don't follow your rules or regulations, or they done went off somewhere, did something. You hear what they're asking or whatever, but you still refuse. Well, it's like it's falling, as people say, it's falling on deaf ears. Their voices are falling on deaf ears. God was talking to the leaders of Israel because it's just as we are at this time. We've gotten ourselves into such a predicament in this nation. I think it was the New York Times and Washington Post, or one of the papers says, they used to award four Pinocchios as the highest for lying or whatever, but with this president, it's in a whole different category. Because this nation of this people follows, as the nation goes, so, as the leader goes, so goes the nation. That lying is a norm to him that is natural. Misrepresentation is a natural for him. We were watching, me and my wife, we don't watch too many of the new pictures. We love a lot of the older pictures. It's a lot of less of some things on it. We were watching Murder, She Wrote one time, and the guy was about to take a lie detector test. And he took the lie detector test, and he passed it. And the people said, well, he passed the lie detector test. It was an old man drinking on a cigar, and he was smoking. He said, well, of course he passed the lie detector test. And it, you know, because the lie detector test, it works off of whether your blood pressure rises or different indicators that you do when you tell a lie. But it couldn't register for him or whatever because lying came natural to him. It was just like eating. He could lie, you know, and that's what it is with our president. He's a natural born liar. That's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees, that you of your father the devil, he was a liar and a murderer in the beginning. And see, we have people in this nation whose conscience are seared. We have Christians in this nation that can go to church, go before God, and still commit some of the most horrendous crimes and things against the word of God. And we're not talking about murder and homosexuality and all these abortion and things, all of the pet sin that churches pick up. Let's talk about covetousness and greed and blue collar crime. Let's talk about the hatred and the oppression of the poor. Let's talk about these things that you're doing, and God's people were doing these things. It was the leaders who were doing these things. In the book of Micah, he says, listen, you leaders of Israel, you're supposed to know right from wrong, yet you are the very ones who hate good and love evil. You skin my people and strip them to the bone. You devour them and flog them, break their bones and chop them up like meat for the cooking pot. And then you plead with the Lord for his help in time of trouble. You take away all of the benefits. You oppress the poor. You drive up inflation. Everything is out of whack in the nation. And then you say, well, let's have a national prayer day. The politicians keep raising their own salaries and everything, and inflation is so high. And I'm looking at the prices. They say, oh, the gas is cheap. Yeah, but my light bill is still up. Yeah, but these other things. How about grocery? I went to one store the other day. They had lettuce at $3 a head. The cheapest I found it was $2.48 at one time. So all of these other measures, we're not talking about blatant sins as homosexuality, adultery, and all these murder and all these, because all that's, those sins are going on also, but one leads to the other. But he was talking about the leaders because of the taxes and the oppression they were doing of people, how they're selling their homes and things from under, how they can't pay bills, how they can't get decent medical treatment. How you treat the stranger among us. You remember I told you about the young lady that had climbed the fence trying to get to safety, trying to get to where she can be in a better country, a better place to work, and fell on rebar and stabbed herself. But all these killings and things that's going on, how are you treating the fatherless? How are you treating the strangers that are among you, God says? He says, do you really expect him to listen? He will look the other way. You false prophets. See, so he's including the spiritual leaders because it was 70% evangelicals that had put this man in office. So this nation is in a condition now where even those that are among him are defecting among them because if you're of God, you can't see what's wrong with this nation. You can't see. That's why in the book of Ezekiel, he was going to bless and he was going to reward those that were mourning and sighing for the condition that the nation was in. The people were in. You who lead this people astray, who cry peace to those you give food and threaten to those who will not pay. So the affluent in society had gained an upper hand and they crushed out justice. The justice was meted out in the street. All of this corruption, they just wanted to stop it right here because they're not going to do anything in the end. They'll let this go. He's pardoning criminals and everything. Justice is being trampled on in the streets. There's no justice in this land. This nation is not, and a lot of it is blue collar crime. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, the 13th verse through the 17th verse. This was messages was about the king. He says, woe, judgment is coming to him who builds houses by acts of unrighteousness and his upper chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without pay and does not give him wages for his work, who says, I will build myself a spacious house with large rooms and cut out its wide windows and panel it with cedar and paint it with vermilion. Do you think that you become a king because you have much more cedar in your palace than Solomon? Did not your father Josiah, he ate and drank and do justice and right acts, being upright and right standing with God? Then all was well with him. He defended the cause of the afflicted and needy. Then all was well with him. Is that not what it means to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are only intent on your own dishonest gain, on shedding of blood. You're not living the way Josiah lived. Josiah, and we've had presidents, we've had leaders, we've had people that stood up for the people, that would give them health care, that would work on programs, that would try to be a good civil leader or ruler. Didn't these people live decent lives? But now all you think about is your dishonest gain. If we go back and look how dishonest this nation has become. And I tell my wife all the time and different people, you go to different places, the workers are just like our leaders. They act like you bothering them. They're on the telephone talking. They don't give you good service or whatever. They're giving you cold food or whatever. I went to the pick up some prescriptions for my wife not too long ago this afternoon, and they didn't even give me a receipt for my order. I had to call back. I said, well, where's the receipt at? I'd actually had to wonder where's the receipt. Well, we can't get it or whatever. So I called into the office on them to find out. But we say hire this person and hire that person, and we shouldn't be getting paid minimum wages. It's not about the money or whatever. Whatever they're paying you, you're still not doing the proper job. You're still not doing the work. How many people within governmental agencies are checking the medical transport business? Do you know they get $40 to $50 a passenger for each trip that they take those people on? But then they'll leave the people stranded out there 2 and 3 hours at a time. They'll cause them to miss appointments, lose doctors and all that. But there's no one monitoring those to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. But they're getting wealthy, and the other people are not overseeing them properly. But God is seeing all these things. And as a nation, everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes, dying trying to get rich. Trying to get rich or die trying. And they're stealing from God. They're doing all kinds of religious hypocrisy. They're apostatized. God said, you think I'm going to hear your prayers if a nation like this? I'm going to turn my face on you. I'm going to turn my back on you, God says. I'm not going to hear anymore. The king was supposed to write out the laws of God, a copy of it, study those laws. And this nation, just like as the people in the nation, hadn't been following the commandments of God. The king I was telling you about, Josiah, he was trying to restore the temple. And as they were restoring and rebuilding the temple, they found a book in there. It was the book of the law. It was their Bible. Josiah says, 2 Kings, the 13th verse and the 15th through the 20th verse, go inquire of the Lord for my sake and for the sake of the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book, which have been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord which has been kindled against us because our fathers have not listened to and obeyed the words of this book, so as to act in accordance with the things that are written concerning us. As a nation, we know it's in the Bible and we hadn't been following it. These people had lost the book, but we now, we're misinterpreting the book. We're not applying it correctly, and that's what I was telling you about pulling scriptures out of context and having people. It's no use having a national prayer day if you're a crook and a hypocrite. God tells you, don't even come before my altar offering up offerings if you got ought against your brother. Go get right with your brother. In other words, you have to be living a right life before you come in and praying and coming into the church. The same people that are coming into the church, setting up programs for the young single mothers and all this, and woman thou loose and all this, you're setting up the nation for fallen women. What you need to do is start guarding your sons and daughters about whoring and whoremongering. Mm-hmm. Sexuality on TV is rampant on any station you pull. Sex is casual nowadays. So how can we live in a society, in a nation that's going to call on God in all these programs so you make money sending the buses in the neighborhoods, taking the children to churches and doing all this, but if they're not right, Jeremiah, we have one here where he says the men were chopping the wood and the boys and children were getting together the offerings for the Queen of Heaven. In other words, during the holiday times and doing, you were serving other gods. That's what he said. You served the gods of the land. You start adopting practices that are not of God. How can I hear your prayers if you're doing these things? That's why he had said, destroy the people coming into the land. But he says, those that you left in the land, they'll be pricks into your side. And that his wrath was going to burn against them because you were going to be led off by these people. Now Josiah seen and knew that this was wrong, and he tried to address it. You remember he sent the book to the prophet Huldah to read and to inquire of God, because the king wasn't supposed to go and inquire of the God. That was the priest or the prophet's job. You remember that's why Uzziah became a leper, because he offered up incense unto God. When he sent that verse 15, she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm bringing a catastrophe on this place, on Judah, and on its inhabitants, according to all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have abandoned or rejected me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, you shall say this to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and receptive and penitent, and you humble yourself before the Lord when you heard what I said against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse. And because you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I have heard you. I've heard your prayer. God hears your prayers if you're sincere. God hears the effectual prayer of the fervent prayer of a righteous person. So those in the nation that are, that may be committing sins, and that's what we are, is sinners. And we are going through a process of sanctification. Thus we have an advocate with the Father, who Jesus Christ, and we go to him and he cleanses and washes us of our sin. We're being washed by the word. We're being led by the Spirit. So there is a process that's going on. He says he's refining us as we're silver, and he's going to restore us, and that he's not going to destroy us. He didn't destroy Josiah. When he was going to destroy the rest of the place, he said, it's too late. He says, therefore, behold, King Josiah, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be taken to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see the evil catastrophe I will bring on this place. So they brought back the word to it. See, God's going to destroy the nation, but that doesn't mean he's going to destroy you if you're walking in his word, walking in his way. If you come out of Babylon, God knows how to preserve those and keep those of his. In the midst of the judgment, in the midst of tribulation, there'll be a remnant in this nation that rise up. And we're not talking about a singular nation. We're talking about the people of the kingdom of God, which is all throughout the world where God's people are scattered, because the children of Abraham was those of faith, and his seed was as those of the seashore. In other words, he was the father of all nations. So whether he scattered your children and relatives to California, to Washington, to Australia, wherever your people be, God are looking for seekers that worship him in spirit and truth. So they're not going to serve him just in Jerusalem upon that mountain. They'll serve him wherever they be. That's what God is looking for. The true worship of God, worship him in spirit and in truth, and he does hear their petitions. We know he hears our prayers, Because we keep his commandments. We follow after God. Well, I know you sinned. I know you did this and that. Of course, and we admit those sins. And we ask God to purge us and cleanse us. So we're not saying we're perfect. There's no man that sinned not. There's none of us. So don't come trying to bring. But I have this confidence and trust in Jesus Christ that he died for my sin, died for the things that I'm doing, and he sees and knows the struggles I'm going through, and that I'm trying to please him. So, yeah, I'll continue to pray to God. I'll always pray to God. But he is my Father. You can't call him Father. See, I'm like Chris now. He's not your Father. That's what Jesus said. God is my Father, but he's not your Father. If he was your Father, you wouldn't be going about trying to kill me. You are your father, the devil. See, there are two seeds in the earth. There are two seeds in the earth. There's a wheat and there's a tares. God's going to separate them. But he told me to love my enemy and love those that despitefully treat me. So I'm going to follow his word. I'm going to follow his ways. So they can play together. It rains on the just and the unjust. So, Chris, you do this to Jaden. Let him play with these toys. Let him eat all these things. But I am your papa. God is our father. It rains on the just and the unjust. But he's not your father. So, he says, pray our father. So, everybody can't do these things. See, Jesus died for his. He died for, you know why he doesn't answer some of those? Because it's not of faith. You can't please God if you're doing it not by faith. Because without faith, you can't please God. Proverbs 21 says, a high look and a proud heart and applying a wicked is sin. Anything you do to God is sin because it's not of faith. It's self-centeredness. It's for your own benefit or whatever. Pride, lust, and evil actions, even you praying to God or doing anything without being a child of God is sin. Because it's not of faith. Whatever Philippians says, let's see, Romans 14, 20-23 says, do not for the sake of food tear down the work of God. All things are indeed are ceremonially clean. But they are wrong for the person who eats and offends another conscious in the process. It is good to do right and not eat meat or drink or wine or do anything that offends your brother. So if by me eating pork, if by me doing a certain thing messes your conscience up, I'll abstain from that. The faith that you have is to yourself, in other words. Pork was unclean. He says to the Israelites in the Old Testament, he says, this shall be an abomination unto you. Right? In other words, that was for that period of time. It wasn't an abomination to the other people. It's not an abomination unto God. It was an abomination unto them. So, in the New Testament, you didn't got so much knowledge, and by faith, you know that food can't commend you to God. Because that person drink, that doesn't mean he's going to go to hell. Because he eats a ham sandwich or pork chops, that's why Peter separated. He said, now Peter, you're not teaching this thing right. Food doesn't commend us to God. So whatever you eat or drink, do it all in faith. Huh? So just because a person go to the doctor, oh man, you believe in them doctors, God's going to do this. Okay, whatever. But don't have so much faith that you call this person not to take their blood pressure medicine. Have that faith to yourself. If you believe that God's going to make you that strong and you don't ever take medicine, that's good, and that's a strong belief. But this other person, his conscience, you didn't got this guy's conscience. Say, well, man, God's not, if I go to the doctor, God's not going to say I have faith or whatever. And this person died, and God had put that doctor there to help them or whatever. And by your high mindedness, your lofty looks, and your faith, you just seared your brother's consciousness. So, Jesus, when he healed the lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest. That was the doctors of those days. So just because you believe in something, don't try to lower somebody else to that or whatever. He said, whatever is not of faith is sin. If that's your brother, he'll grow into it. God brings us all to the point he wants us at. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It is faith that pleases God. And you have to be able to hear. Hearing, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that comes from a preacher. But God told Jeremiah, don't pray for these people. Because they were using God. They had rejected God. See, their sin was knowing what God, it was willful sin. See, that's what this nation's sin is. It's willful sin. They know that these are lies. They know this is misrepresentation of the truth. They know it's oppression. So there is no more sacrifice for you if you sin willfully. That's how the Pharisees was. It was a knowledge of knowing this was wrong to do and doing it anyhow. That's presumption. That's why he punished David so bad. Because he caused his name to be blasphemed among the Gentiles. He said, I swore to never leave your house, David. So David's children raped one another and did all these things. But David was a man after God's own heart. Of course we sin. Of course we do things. David committed murder, but God didn't disown him as a child. David said, my bones waxed old within me. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't act right. I was away from you. Please don't take your spirit away from me, Lord. Renew a right spirit. See, because if we sin against God, it's our conscience bothers us. We're still saved, but we don't have that same joy because we've offended the God that we know that we've offended. And so we want him to make us feel better again. So let us get back in right condition with God. Because I'm not going to let anyone take my joy from me. God had gave me joy and peace, and I've allowed it to leave. But God, I'm sorry. Have mercy upon me. I'm only a human. I'm only a flesh and blood. Have mercy upon me, God. I'm sorry. So once you turn back to God, but these people wasn't turning back to God. They were going full speed ahead. They were like the Pharisees. In John 8:40-47, but as it is, you want to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This is not the way Abraham acted. You are not doing the works of your own father. You are doing the works of your own father, they said to him. We are not born of fornication. We're not illegitimate. We have one father, which is God.
What did he say?
No, he didn't, he said. Jesus said, oh, no, he won't. He says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, but he is not. If he was your father, you would love me and recognize me, for I came out from God and have arrived here, for I'm not even come on my own. You are your father, the devil. That's why you don't understand what I'm saying. That's why you don't understand any of this, because you are your father, the devil. God is not your. See, a lot of people profess Christianity, profess to be a Christian, but they're not. God is not. Your actions, your character betray who you are. He had chosen Judas, and he knew Judas was a devil. It came out what he was. You know, do your actions betray you? Sometimes you have to make these judgments. You have to come out and make these judgments. What is right and what is wrong? And the only way you can do that is by the standard of God's word. God's word is a standard bearer. In other words, we judge everything according to God's word. So he does tell us to ask in his name. Ask everything that we want, ask in the name of Jesus. Ask that in his name and say, and I'll do it. But why? Because this is for the furtherance of the kingdom. This is in Jesus' name. In other words, this is what Jesus wanted to use. It's necessary for the kingdom. So that's why the more, remember I tell you, prayer is a growth through spiritual experience of walking with God and communing with God. The more you pray, do you know the less you ask for yourself? You ask for others? Do you know your prayer centers upon others? My prayer centers upon the members of this church, upon my children. If not for me most of the time. See, because you're looking to God to take care of you.
Yeah.
But you're looking to God to give you strength. I couldn't hardly walk yesterday, but, you know, my son-in-law had ran into a little conflict there, whatever. And my daughter's precious to me. And I couldn't just say no or whatever. And I told my wife, I'm going to take me a few pills or whatever, but I'm going to go help them.
Amen.
I'm not thinking about my own health and say, well, no, I'm not going to hurt myself out there. You know, a lot of people say, worry, go kill them. Man, y'all ain't going to kill me. What job kill you? I want to know that. Yeah. You're going to kill me with all that worry. But I was in pain and hurting, but I asked God to help me get through it. Help me to help. And I was talking to her this morning. I was telling her, I said, well, you know, when I was young and everything, and we had five kids and everything, I said, your mother, she had to stay up through the night with y'all and these different things. And that's why I say God has to put us through these things. Remember I was telling you about Johnny Erickson Tyler? Well, coming up, God has to put me through a lot of things. And, you know, I say, well, I know you're hurting, darling, and I know it's hard to have to get up and with a child through the middle of the night and then have to get up and drive an hour and a half to work, and then work all day and then come home and cook and clean up and take care of the children. I say, well, thank God when we were young that we wasn't so much in church, and that's why I say God has to, God knows what you're going through. But I say, God spared me, give me a good wife, and your mother took care of all that, and it kept y'all off of me. I was able to sleep at night. I didn't have to stay up with y'all like that. She didn't have to work at that time. She kept the children. It wasn't until our youngest child got into elementary school before she went to work, back to work. So I said, I understand, darling, and I can understand. And she said, I love you, Dad. You know, that meant more to me than anything else to be able to understand. She said, Dad, I just not went to the youngest one that stayed open to what, 4 o'clock or something, she said. And I said, darling, I know what you're going through. See, instead of these programs talking about just the single mother, how about the married woman also?
Yeah.
How about those that are suffering domestic abuse? Because it's a lot of women that are having to work and do all these things. I'm not saying this about her husband, but there are men that's going to only do that. Say, I'm a man, I ain't going to do all that or whatever. And the woman is toting the whole load. There are a lot of single women that are running their households or whatever. That's why I say I count on Sister Harris, because she's an example of a person. I can't, in the years that's going, come Wednesday night, she's going to have her tithes and offering. She doesn't miss those things. But anybody in that apartment, now sometimes it looks gloomy to her, but of all the years we've been here, of all the women that's been through there, oh, I can't compete with that. Just have faith, Sister Harris. Shake on all these people. But of all the women that are selling Dixie cups and sweets and things over there, she's been there the longest that I know of. Those that she was worried about have came and gone. See, God, and none of those women are handicapped the way she is, but she has a rapport with the children and all those young and old. If you see her coming here, they'll always be speaking to her, saying something to her. Because she's not. See, God, he wants you to be example. That's why he said, have you tried my servant Job? Mm-hmm. See, you could be under a lot of pressure. I was telling my wife, I said, well, you're feeling bad, you're sick and thing now, and this and that. Okay. But God is allowing you to go through these temptations. He's allowing you to go through the fire and the trial. He's allowing whatever's there. You have to realize you can pray and talk to God because he knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So he does hear your prayers. And yes, you do sin, but you have an advocate with the Father. If any man sin, you have an advocate where you can boldly go through the throne of grace and petition the Father in Jesus' name. He tells you to go to the Father in his name. And I, you know, my mama and Mr. Isaac, the older people say, you can't just go to God.
And you can't just go to God. Jesus has to be there, and it's for me that you're going to the Father, that you're in Christ, you're robed in His righteousness, you have to be clothed in Christ. So when He's answering you, He's looking at His Son, He's looking at Jesus, because you're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. You're following His commandments, you're walking in His Word, and He says, okay, I see Jesus. But if you're not imitating Christ, if you're not walking in God's Word, hold on, you're living this way, and then you come in here and pray to me. I don't know who you are. Is that what happened? Jesus said, well, look, God departs from me. He said, but we did these things in your name. I never knew you. Because you were doing it on your own. You wasn't pressed by the Spirit. The Spirit, you hadn't been regenerated. So God doesn't hear those. He said, Lord, Lord, open it. He said, many shall say unto me in that day, petition, Lord, Lord, open up to me. And He says, I never knew you. How do you think that that's going to be a rude awakening? These people going to church, doing things, feeding the needy, casting out devils, and Jesus had never known them. That's a hard thing. And I wouldn't preach it to you if it wasn't that I said, you have to suffer to your hand. You have to go through something, and God scourges every child that He receives. So it's going to take prayer. But prayer is something much different from what this canned prayer we've heard on television and what people say, oh, just pray, God hears you. God, according to your tradition, God hears not the prayers of sinners. God had turned His face on. He says, Jeremiah, in the 7th chapter of Jeremiah, the 16th verse, and that's what we're closing with. Because it said, I ask you a question to open up. Do God hear the prayers of sinners? He says, pray no more for these people. In other words, it was over with. It's, don't waste time for them, on them. And I hear a lot of people say, well, yeah, but that's the Old Testament, and God doesn't tell us that anymore. He told Jeremiah, pray not for these people, Jeremiah. Neither weep for them, nor pray, nor beg that I should help them, for I will not listen. Don't you see what they're doing throughout the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? No wonder my anger is great. Watch how the children gather wood and the fathers build fires. And the women knead dough and make cakes to the altar to the Queen of Heaven and to other idol gods. Am I the one that they're hurting? Asked the Lord. Most of all, they're hurting themselves to their own shame. So the Lord God says, I will pour out my anger, yes, my fury on this place, people, animals, trees, plants, and will consume by unquenchable fire. Don't pray for them, Jeremiah. It's not going to help them. Oh, wait, it does when he said, pray for our enemy, pray for everybody, and cease not to pray or whatever. He does tell us that. But does he tell us how to pray or what to pray? Yeah. Because we're imitating Jesus, right? We're following Jesus. John, the 17th chapter, the 9th verse. If we're imitating in Jesus and doing Jesus, he says, he's sanctified himself, and now he says, I pray for them, Father, that is, these my own. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. What? Did that sound like what he told Jeremiah? Not to pray for the world? He says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou givest me. I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those that you have given me, that you would keep them from the evil. For they are yours and they are mine. Those are the ones you give. That's who I'm praying for. I'm not praying for the world. Love not the world, the things of the world. And don't waste your time. If he'd have been praying for the world and God to condemn the world, that would be a prayer that wouldn't be answered. Jesus never prayed a prayer that wasn't going to be answered. Don't you have an expectation of God answering your prayer?
Amen.
So if the world is condemned already and he told you there are some that are devils, he knew Jesus was a devil. He knew it wasn't no truth. He says, woe be unto him. He had raised up Pharaoh for destruction. He called some cursed children in the New Testament. He says some are like natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. We need discernment from God. We need perspective from God to start seeing that we don't waste time, that we redeem time. So we'll make correct associations and know who to pray for, because some people are saying, pray for me. Well, it's no use me going in the church praying for you and you out here, but still out my house when I'm gone.
Right.
It's no use in me praying for you and you know that you should be doing something to get your... Tell me this, what are you doing that you're in such a condition that you can't pray for yourself? The Bible says save yourself from this untoward generation. Shouldn't you get yourself in a position to where you're saved and know you're saved and that you could pray for somebody else? Do God hear the prayers of sinners? I want to ask you that question again. So, Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and your way.